Okay, that was excellent. We do have some seats spread out throughout the room for those standing. You'd like to come in right now while we're having a little bit of a change. Please do so. Maybe those that are sitting on the end, maybe could move a little bit to the middle to make it easier for the folks to find a place. And there are some chairs back here too, so don't be shy. Our next presenter is Dr. Toni Yancey. She's currently professor in the Department of Health Services and principal investigator for the Center of Excellence in the Elimination of Disparities in the UCLA School of Public Health. Toni did work out in the field, if you will, as a practitioner for a number of years in both Richmond, Virginia, and in LA County before she returned to academia about 5 years ago. Well, maybe about 7 years ago now, I guess. She's served on a multitude of national advisory committees. As you saw, she was with the Physical Activity Guidelines Advisory Committee. She's with the American Heart Association Physical Activity Subcommittee, and on and on. Toni's a wonderful example of being active. Many of you have probably heard of her worksite liftoff program that she helped research, evaluate, and disseminate. In fact, she might even make us get up and do something here in a moment.
Yes, I think so.
But one of the things that I've seen her do at a professional meeting is actually recite poetry. I don't know if she's going to do that today, but she's an accomplished poet and writer, as well as a wonderful research scientist and physical activity advocate, and just a great all-around person. So join me in welcoming Dr. Toni Yancey.
Your check's in the mail as my publicist. Good morning. Or actually, yeah, it is still morning. It is still morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about the development of the National Physical Activity Plan, and I won't have as much to say about it as Penny did because we're just in the development phase. But there's a lot of interest about this, and we wanted to at least let you know that there's a follow-on to the release of the physical activity guidelines. And in fact, several of us. Several of us who are on the Physical Activity Guidelines Committee actually have been a part of this coordinating committee for the National Physical Activity for the National Physical Activity Plan. So why and why now? Well, we really want to orchestrate the efforts of rolling out physical activity population-wide along the lines that other groups have done, either disease-focused groups, physical activity plans in other countries have been developed that we've been looking at, and also state physical activity plans are in place in a number of states. And building upon the momentum of the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans release on October 7th. So these are just some examples: National Arthritis Action Plan, the Blueprint for Older Adults, and the Heart Disease and Stroke Public Health Action Plan. These are the plans that we looked at from around the world: Canada, Finland, Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Scotland, the UK, and Western Australia. And the states that have physical activity plans in place. So Arizona, Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Maine, Georgia, Maryland, South Carolina, Hawaii, Montana, and South Dakota. Little skew to the west there. So the effort is supported by the Prevention Research Center, which is a CDC-funded center at the University of South Carolina, and also by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Those of us serving on the coordinating committee represent a variety of fields in terms of public health, education, and so forth. We're really trying to make sure that we build a plan that works across sectors at multiple levels. I mean, the sort of social ecological model I know is familiar to most of you, so we're really looking to work not only at the individual level. As a matter of fact, that's the level that's gotten probably most of the attention, if not almost exclusively the attention until the last few years, but really looking at the social environment or sociocultural environment, the built environment, and not only outdoor built environment, but the indoor built environment that a lot of us spend a lot of our time in. Organizational partners, AFERD, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Association of Retired Persons, American Cancer Society, American College of Sports Medicine, American Heart Association, and CDC, of course. And these are our coordinating committee members. Russ Pate and Bill Haskell and I were actually on the Physical Activity Guidelines Committee, and Jackie Epping, who's on the panel, is a part of that committee. And I don't know if anybody else who's on the National PA Plan Committee is in the room. Please raise your hand. I know a number of them are here at the meeting, but obviously everybody's running around doing other things. So to date, we've recruited a number of organizational partners across sectors and are continuing that process. We're working through these model plans and looking at elements that seem to be appropriate. And in parallel with that, we're assembling an evidence base through commissioned white papers. So that's just in the process of happening now. There's a website that's being mounted, www.physicalactivityplan.org. And a national meeting is in the offing for this coming summer, June 30th through July 9th. The plan sectors that we're commissioning the white papers for include public health, and you'll see a reflection of the people that are on the coordinating committee, because again, these are the sectors that we've identified as particularly critical for moving this plan forward. Again, it's looking at what we can do to change the environment to make the active choice the default choice, to make the active choice the one that is what everybody kind of goes along and does, and the inactive choice you have to go out of your way to do. You have to opt out. So public health agencies at the federal, state, and local levels, Greg Heath at University of Tennessee Chattanooga will be doing that one. Education, so we have education agencies at the federal, state, and local levels dealing with from the preschool level all the way through the college level. And we have Daryl Seidentop, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, at Ohio State. Voluntary not-for-profit organizations, so these are volunteer organizations that are committed to issues that impact or are impacted by physical activity, both in the health and the non-health areas. So certainly the American Cancer Society, American Heart Association, American Lung Association, but also many that are outside of that network. We're working to try to involve some of the medical associations, particularly those that focus on communities of color, nursing associations, health educators, a variety, again, from within and without. Colleen Doyle from the American Cancer Society, who's one of our coordinating committee members, is taking the lead on that. Transportation, I think we're still looking for someone, unless someone's been found that I'm not aware of. Looking at the relevant agencies at the federal, state, and local levels, so urban design, certainly, transportation, and just generally some of those that coordinate those activities, so city managers, mayors, and so forth. Mass media, the web, certainly, television media campaigns, that's Adrian Bauman, who's at the University of Sydney in Australia. Healthcare, federal and state programs, health insurance industry, and clinical practice. Kevin Patrick at UCSD, who is also the editor of the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, the Oregon Journal for the American College of Preventive Medicine. Business and industry, so we have worksite health, manufacturers of products, that impact on physical activity. I mean, most of us are aware of some excitement about the video games shifting at least or including some that are physical games, such as the Nintendo Wii, the Sony iToy, the Dance Dance Revolution. Nico Pronk at Help Partners in Minnesota is going to tackle that one. And Parks and Recreation, Fitness and Sports, as many of you know, the Active Living Research Group has really been pulling together a lot of different areas in terms of leisure activity and so forth that are involved in promoting physical activity, but that really haven't worked much with public health. So they're coming to the table. And in terms of the white papers, We're working to arrange publication in a special issue of a referee journal or a supplement. The primary sources that we're asking the authors to use are the systematic reviews, complemented by individual studies to provide updates, since systematic reviews generally stop a few years before, you know, the most recent studies, which still, you know, are a couple of years usually in the publication process. Secondary sources are recommended or best practice physical activity interventions from authoritative organizations such as the CDC's Community Guide. Comprehensive reviews are not particularly viewed as sources for this, and we're looking for these authors to recommend the most promising intervention strategies that are based on a number of criteria, so strength of evidence, reach, likely efficacy, potential for wide dissemination, the potential for sustainability of intervention or effects. In other words, we have had 30 years of research that primarily is targeted at the individual level, and that, in essence, whether it's federal funding, foundation funding, the grant goes away, and people need the support. So I think someone said that when you're working in obesity prevention and control or physical activity promotion, I mean, there has to be something ongoing there, and you're really swimming upstream given the obesogenic environment in which we live. So we really need to focus on sustainability. Cost or cost effectiveness is another is something else that we're looking at, and this, in particular, is a part of what we need for that sort of for-profit sector, healthcare industry, sales job, if you will. But the idea is that if we're going to market these strategies and expect that people who are very bottom-line oriented are going to take that on, they're not just the do-gooders in public health, but they have other agendas, then we really need to talk about how our interventions work in terms of cost. I mean, are they cost neutral or perhaps some savings? Even if there's a cost, I mean, at least we need to help people identify that so that they can direct their resources accordingly. The potential for reducing disparities, and I'm sure that many of you, particularly working in public health practice, are aware of the tremendous disparities, not only in diseases that are related to physical inactivity, but also in the risk burden itself. So many groups, including older individuals, including women, including African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, American Indians, all have lower physical activity levels than do affluent whites, lower income individuals in Appalachia, rural areas. So there are a number of groups that if we improved physical activity population-wide, we could be successful in doing that, but we would not necessarily decrease or eliminate disparities. So I think both of those are goals of this national physical activity plan. And then the ability to target inactive populations, which again gets at this issue of disparities. And as Dr. Hooker said, we really cannot not walk the talk, so we need to have a little bit of activity since we're trying to prevent sedentary behavior as well as promote physical activity. So if I could just get everybody up. We actually have a CD and a DVD. This is something that's happening right here in San Diego through the Padres, and this is an instant recess break, which is going on every Sunday family day. Well, actually, the season just ended, but happened every Sunday family day. If I could just get everybody to start with just stepping to the side and back. Okay, just a simple little sidestep. Try not to knock anybody out.
Everyone get going in the same direction, yes.
Yeah, that helps. It helps if you're going to the same direction. Okay. Most of these activities are actually baseball simulations, so there's a lot of core strengthening there. A lot of our prior lift-offs, which stands for lift those buns off the couches and chairs. A lot of those were actually more aerobic, but this actually pulls in more of the core strengthening. So we're going to start with what's called the batter on deck. Okay? What I want you to do, bend your knees and bend from the hips. Don't hunch over. Keep your back straight. I want you to put that bat up behind your head. I know you've seen this happen, even those of you that aren't interested in sports, but this is what they do to warm up when they're getting ready to go up to bat. So just a little twist. Okay. Just got to wake everybody up. Not everybody had the caffeine fix. Some of us don't drink caffeine, so. All right. So we'll do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. The next one is called batter up. Okay. Everybody get into that stance. Okay. Elbow up. Okay. We're going to hit a few home runs here. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is shift your weight forward, shift it back. Shift forward, back. Okay, now that you've got that going, just knock it out of the park.
No golf swings.
Just make sure you're not sitting next to somebody you dislike, because we don't want to have anybody knocked out here.
Punch.
Okay, and 5. 4, 3, 2, and 1, okay? The next one is the Hoffman changeup, Trevor Hoffman's soon-to-be Hall of Famer pitcher for the San Diego Padres. So what we want you to do is knee up, down, okay? Just start with knee up, down, okay? Knee up, down, okay? Now, put that hand up, and we're going to knee up, down, throw. So knee up, down, throw. 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 Knee up, down, throw.
Still way to develop gross
and
motor skills.
5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And this is the last one. We don't have time to give you that much fun, so you'll have to check it out at the stadium. Want your feet about shoulder width apart. Okay, what you're going to do is sit down. I don't want your knees coming out over your toes. Don't actually get to the chairs. I just want you to remember the way, you know, how they do that across the stand. So, like this. Okay? Keep those knees behind the toes and just stick out the booty.
Is anyone taking a picture?
Not from behind.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you will feel this if you do it enough.
It's like squats.
And 5, 4,
now I really need my
3, 2, 1, Yoo-hoo! And give yourself a hand. And I will entertain a few questions about the National Physical Activity Plan. And since I have Jackie Epping with me, any questions that I can't answer, I'm sure she can provide backup. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just wondering timeline.
You know, I know that the instructions and letter just went out in the middle of October, and I really can't tell you right now when they're due back, but I know it's a fairly short timeline. If somebody knows, please.
Do you remember? Ready before the meeting next year, though.
Well, obviously, yeah. The national meeting that's being planned is in June, so June 30th through July 2nd. So the timeline is such that we're trying to get the papers back, digest that information, use that with the other development that's been going on for the plan in terms of looking at these other plans, and then have something to sort of discuss at the national meeting. Now, the decision is that we will not be making a decision until the national meeting occurs. The whole point of the national meeting is to get a lot of input from, you know, a broad base of people, much broader than this small coordinating committee. So we will not be coming up with anything before, but we will have the evidence base assembled, and we will probably have done a little bit of work to try to make this such that people can provide that input and we can put it together in as efficient a way as possible. Yes, ma'am. A lot of the information is on the website. I think the only thing that's not there is the information I just gave you about the white papers. But I think most of the rest of the information is there. Yes, sir.
I'm a primary care physician, so, and I'm also fairly practical. I think in these white papers, getting beyond the intellectual side of this, there has to be some explanation of how I'm going to be able to refer the patients that I work with for counseling. So things like lifestyle coaching, which has clearly been shown to be beneficial, I'm not going to have the time to do adequate counseling necessarily in my office visit with a patient, but I'm going to need to be able to get reimbursed or get, you know, the way we reimburse nutritionists or whatever, and I'm wondering if that's going to be included in this work in LA.
You know, I can certainly tell you that that issue comes up, and it comes up a lot. I cannot tell you what ultimately will be addressed, but what I will say about that is that we know that a relatively small portion of preventable illness is governed by anything that happens in the medical encounter. And so I think the focus is going to be broad. So the medical encounter will be part of it. And I think physicians or other staff reinforcing messages is certainly important. But I think as a physician myself who worked in, you know, a lot of public health clinical settings in New York and LA, I mean, I know what kind of time there is when you have 15, you know, it's a chart like this, and 15 chief complaints, not just overall complaints, but chief complaints. So, I mean, your point is well taken, but I really can't tell you how that's going to be addressed. It certainly is something that people are very cognizant of. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I mean, and that's great, and I'm sure that a part of what happens is to make sure that we link people with resources, especially more place-based resources, you know, within their own communities. But I do want to emphasize that the physical activity plan is not going to be primarily focused at the individual level, not with counseling, not with, you know, brochures or websites. It really, the focus is going to be at how do we restructure the environment to make physical activity much easier, a much easier choice, to make physical activity kind of hard to avoid, just like it was to avoid that physical activity break that we just had, although people in this room are much more motivated than the general public. Yes, ma'am.
Trying to understand the factors that in the built environment that affect physical activity. So we're really interested in focusing on
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, and I'll roll the ball on that, and certainly my distinguished colleagues can jump in. I mean, what I would say is that when you look at some of the economic studies that have been done, it's fairly clear that the recent decrease in overall physical activity is mostly coming from decreases in occupational physical activity and decreases in active transportation. Okay, really people are not jogging or, you know, out exercising any less than before. If anything, the amounts of that kind of leisure time physical activity have gone up slightly over the last 30 years while physical activity levels have been declining. So a part of what we have to focus on is kind of where the pedal hits the metal for what these trends are that we're experiencing nationally. Now, that's not to say that there aren't certain populations, and that's why I mentioned... Is there a way of going backward? Okay. And that's why I mentioned that some of the criteria for promising interventions have to do with certain populations. So in this case, populations that are not particularly inactive, but perhaps stress, perhaps, you know, other factors in their environments are very much contributing to problems related to, you know, inactivity. But, you know, their overall physical activity levels are actually higher than others. So, you know, that's a particular issue. But I just want to say that across the population, by and large, our activity levels as a function of occupational energy expenditure have plummeted.
We're going to move on. Thank you, Tony. Okay, so we have new national physical activity guidelines in our arsenal. We're going to have a national physical activity plan in our arsenal eventually. One other thing that we have in our arsenal to combat physical inactivity is going to be talked about next by Jackie Epping. And Jackie is a team leader and lead health scientist for the guidelines and recommendations team of the physical activity and health branch at CDC. She's also leading the current update of the guide to community preventive services physical activity intervention recommendations, and she'll be talking about that today. She's a federal representative to the National Coalition for Promoting Physical Activity, CDC advisor to the National Society for Physical Activity Practitioners in Public Health. And as you heard, she's a member of the steering committee for the development of the National Physical Activity Plan. Jackie has an interesting interest in dog walking. She's actually facilitating an international dog walking interest group. I believe it was yesterday that you gave a talk on dog walking as part of physical activity promotion. And Australia is probably leading us in that area. But I imagine you must have a dog, too. Five. Dogs. Wow. One other thing I'll say about Jackie is if you're interested in, you're thinking about going to Hawaii, you've never been there, she's been several times and she's a great travel agent. She can tell you places to go, places to eat, things to see. She helped me out a lot in the past on that. But join me in welcoming Jackie Epping.
Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for that intro and the plug.